From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other shoe is about to drop in Washington, D.C. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. There are a lot of moving parts right now as we maneuver through, what is this, day two of the government shutdown. And if there is not a vote tomorrow, it looks like the government will remain shut down through the weekend. And this could go on for a little while. The other shoe about to drop, though, is President Trump getting ready to announce that he could end up terminating a lot of these furloughed workers. In other words, entire divisions of the federal government are about to be eliminated. And this is, it's a brilliant strategy. And the Democrats just walked right into the trap here. It's really remarkable. Never seen anything quite like this. But the Democrats are in complete disarray right now over what to do about the Schumer shutdown. So we're going to be getting into this, but do you support this White House going in? And we're hearing as many as 300,000 jobs could, in fact, be eliminated, could be terminated as a result of the government shutdown here. I'm loving it, absolutely loving it. By the way, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. We have some great guests coming up later today. Dinesh D'Souza is going to drop by. He's got a brand new film coming out based on a book by our good friend Jonathan Kahn. Also, Steve Hilton is going to be here. Steve running for the governor's office in California. So we'll have a great conversation with him as well. I want to start, though, and those of you that are following us on our Facebook live stream, you know exactly where I'm going here. But the University of Delaware, very disturbing story over there. The University of Delaware has a student-run TV network. And so they do a lot of TV shows. And one of the programs is called The Bi-Weekly Show, which is sort of a comedy show is what they're saying. So the University of Delaware, they have this student-run TV network, and they were running credits at the end of the broadcast thanking various people and entities, and again, on this so-called comedy show. But among those that they provided special thanks to happened to be Charlie Kirk's killer. That's literally what scrawled across TV screens in the state of Delaware. Charlie Kirk's killer. They said special thanks to Charlie Kirk's killer. This is insanity, ladies and gentlemen, but not surprising. Insane, but not surprising, because we have seen this on many university campuses around the nation. We have seen this in not just among students, but also among faculty and administrators. We've seen this in high school campuses with faculty, not necessarily students, but faculty at the high school level. And they're celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And as part of this Rutgers study that we've shared with you a few days ago, and they're saying that the cancel culture has now morphed into the assassination culture. That's what we're dealing with here. And I don't get it, because the student TV station has faculty oversight. So somebody had to have signed off on all of this. Now, the University of Delaware is a taxpayer-funded school. So is the student TV network. So everything that's done is paid for by your tax dollars. And it just seems to me at this point, the University of Delaware needs to step in. And first of all, they've got to cancel the show. I think they have to expel or suspend the students involved in this, and they've got to fire the faculty advisor, because there's no excuse for something like this going out. And again, they claim that the biweekly program is meant to be a comedy show. There's nothing funny about what happened to Charlie Kirk. There's nothing funny about having your head blown off. There's nothing funny about being assassinated. What's wrong with these people? Again, it goes back. it goes back to the very simple truth that there is great evil in this country. And quite frankly, the only solution to that is Almighty God himself. So we'll keep you updated on any developments there, but just heinous behavior coming from the students who run the University of Delaware's student TV station. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Phone's already lighting up about this government shutdown. Let's go to Stephen in Morehead City, North Carolina. Stephen, what do you think about the Schumer shutdown?
Well, I think he sort of shot himself in the foot on this, but good, great, wonderful. Keep it shut down. Keep it shut down. Shut it down. And then we will maybe finally see this waste. And I see it, and I've got some very good friends who they are affected by this, but they used to laugh about it and say, I get paid for doing nothing. I'm not kidding. And these are friends, and so it's difficult because it would always really bother me. I'm like, well, then shouldn't you do something? Go help the Salvation Army, you know, do something. But to just say, I'm taking, because I pay taxes, and I assume that you do too.
Stephen, it seems to me, whenever they say that this organization, and they're always saying the non-essential personnel, they're the ones that are being furloughed or sent home. Here's what gets me about that. If you're non-essential, why are you employed?
Exactly. That makes, you're actually saying it out loud. You're non-essential. But we're going to let you make who knows how much money to just sit at home sometimes, if you decide to sit at home. And so what is it that you do? Nothing. We're non-essential.
Wow. So they're actually admitting all of this to you, Stephen.
They are. And they say it.
And are these friends of yours? Do you have a relationship with these people?
Yes, these are dear friends, and they say this, and a part of me wants to agree and say, look, if they're dumb enough to just give us a paycheck for doing nothing, well, I'll go fishing, and yeah, I guess I will do that. And I'm like, man, that just, to me, that's not cool. And yet they kind of feel like if they are dumb enough. But the problem is it's all of us. It's not just the dumb ones. It's the ones who give up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know? A part of you goes, okay, great. They need a job. They're getting a job. And maybe, you know, maybe they should be ashamed of themselves. But then again, the people ultimately responsible are the supervisors and the managers who are hiring these people to sit there and do nothing on the taxpayer's dime. But as a taxpayer, Stephen, that just angers me so much because that is squandering our hard-earned money.
Yes. And you know what we need to bring back? And I pray this is going to happen. I believe our president is a good man. And he's doing the best he can. He's done a lot of amazing things in just a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring back the Civilian Conservation Corps. And get all those people who are sitting on their butts getting a check, who are able-bodied people, give them a sense of – here's the thing. A lot of these folks, they've never had the sense of responsibility.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. And, again, the idea that we're just paying – and these people are openly boasting about the fact – that they work for the government, they're taking a paycheck from the American taxpayers, and they're not doing anything. I couldn't be friends with people like that. I really couldn't. You're a better man than I am, Stephen. I got to run, my friend, but thank you for that call. It's like the TSA. I get it. You need a job, but really, do you really need a job so bad that you're just willing to manhandle your fellow countrymen? I don't know about that. 901-260-5926, Ocala, Florida, Richard. Richard, what's your take on the Schumer shutdown?
Man, I'm so thankful I'm laughing almost. I hope it stays shut down. Craig, help me out here, Mr. Todd. Somebody said if it stays shut down for over 60 days, Trump can start laying them off like crazy. Is that right or wrong?
Well, I don't think he has to wait. I think, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lawsuit, but, you know, I don't see why he can't go ahead and start laying off people now.
Oh, Mr. Todd, I'm all for it. I hope he lays them off by the tens of thousands. And I'm not trying to pick on nobody, but there's so many of them on the government PAP that is useless. It wouldn't bother me if he laid off a million of them. Now, I don't want nobody that's really deserving his pay and working in a position that we need to be laid off. But a lot of these that's just living off the taxpayer, it's time to clean the books. I mean, that's just good business. And I'm happy for the shutdown. I hope if both the Democrats and Republicans come to an agreement, can he veto it and keep the shutdown going? Or does how does that work?
Well, I guess he could. I mean, he's president of the United States. He can veto whatever he wants to. So, yeah, I guess so, Richard. I will say this, that Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, telling ABC News, and I just want to make sure we're giving credit here, Caroline Leavitt says layoffs are imminent. So that means not 50 days. It could be today, tomorrow, or maybe as early as next week.
Oh, brother, I'm all for it. No, I'm not trying to pick on nobody.
No, no.
Our government has so much waste, it's pathetic.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I go back to this cold, hard reality. This clean bill is actually a continuation of Biden-level spending. So this is what makes it so disgusting for the Democrats. This was their spending, all right? This was their guy's spending bill, and now they're voting against it. Nothing has changed at all. They're voting against it because of Donald J. Trump. That's the only reason why. All right, Richard, thank you for calling in. Yeah, Richard is fired up, and I think he'd like to see the government shut down for a very long time, and that may happen. That may happen because Chuck Schumer is terrified right now of the radical progressive females, the mean girls who run the Democrat Party right now. Talking about AOC, Jasmine Crockett, and Ilhan Omar. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Attention investors with a 401k, IRA, or retirement account. The dollar has lost over 25% of its value in the past 5 years, and it's only going to get worse. Are you prepared for what's about to happen next? We are Advantage Gold, the number one customer-rated gold IRA company in America, and we are helping Americans prepare for the great de-dollarization by diversifying their portfolios with physical precious metals. We've partnered with former chief economist of the IMF, Kenneth Rogoff, to give away his latest book called Our Dollar, Your Problem, a must-read for investors. Call 800-741-GOLD, and we'll rush a free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem, to your doorstep and include our special gold IRA investing kit valued at $49. The dollar is losing value fast. Call 800-741-GOLD now to get your free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem and our free gold IRA investing kit. Supplies are limited. Consult your tax and financial professional before investing. Call 800-741-4653. That's 800-741-GOLD.
I've got to tell you guys what happened this morning. This is terrific. So the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, what's happening on so many high school, university campuses, it's just insane, and in a good way. So I got word a few days ago that one of the big high schools in the suburbs of Memphis, they were getting ready to restart their Turning Point USA chapter. And they said, is there any way that you might be able to be our speaker? And I said, I'd be honored to. Just let me know the time and place, and I will be there. And then they said 6:30 in the morning, and I'm like, geez, Lou, I should have gotten that intel first. No. So it turns out they got there. You have to turn your paperwork for a school club in earlier in the semester. And so they weren't able to do that, and there was no grace offered there. So the Turning Point chapter at this particular high school in Collierville, Tennessee, they decided, you know what, we're going to have to meet off campus. They're not allowed to meet on campus because they're not an official club. So one of the local restaurants, and I'm giving these folks a shout out because what they're doing is so important. So the owners of a local, very popular restaurant called Booyah's. Dylan, you ever heard of Booyah's?
I haven't.
It's great. Parker May, the sports director at KWAM, swears by Booyahs.
Well, I trust Parker.
So they said, you know what, guys, kids, come on into our restaurant. We don't do breakfast, but come on in. Some of the moms picked up Chick-fil-A, so we had great meals. There was no coffee. We got to talk about that. We'll have to talk about that. But it was a great time. We had over 60 kids there. 60 kids showed up at 6:30 in the morning on a school day to talk about being a conservative and talking about freedom and liberty and taking back their country. And I just think that's an amazing thing. So just, you guys keep encouraging these young people, and we have to take advantage of the moment. These young people are passionate, and they are determined, and we have got to stand alongside of them, and we're certainly doing that and doing our part. Spoke for about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, and we threw out some trivia. Some of the kids won books, and then they went off to class. So I just want to thank the good people there at Collierville High School for the invitation, and we're going to do whatever we can to help these kids out. All right, 901-260-5926. Our next guest attended an event at our radio affiliate in Waterloo, Iowa, over the weekend. We've been doing a lot of traveling these days. And his name is Gary. And Gary tells me that he is running for president of the United States. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, Doc Starn. Great honor for me to be on the awesome The Doc Starn Show. I know you're one of the largest media shows across the United States of America. Obviously, nationally syndicated show as well, and it's a great honor for me to be on your show today. I know you and I met at the awesome Blackhawk Down GOP event a few days back. I thought your speech there was off the charts, my friend. And let me quickly introduce myself to your great viewers and listeners, my friend Doc Starn. So my name is Gary Barb. I am a huge supporter of our President Donald J. Trump, a proud Republican of the Republican Party that belongs to our President Donald J. Trump. And I'm officially running for president of the United States of America in the 2028 election to help President Trump make America great again, keep America great, and save America.
Wow. So so you're like, really? So this is no joke. You're actually running for the presidency of the United States.
Yes, sir. And I've met with a lot of people across the country, my friend. I've interviewed with probably about 25, 30 media networks across the country. I've met with President Trump. I've been to Mar-a-Lago a few times as well.
You've met with the president?
That is correct. I've met with the greatest and the 47th president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
Did you tell him that? Did you ask for his blessing? Because, you know, he may run again. I mean, we don't know. There's scuttlebutt about a third term.
Well, let me complete my quick introduction.
Well, no. This is my radio show. That's not how we do things here. I ask the questions, and you get to answer them.
So I will answer the question. So look, sorry, go on, continue. Yes, sir.
So President Trump gave you his blessing.
Well, I will say, when you say blessing, I'm not sure what you mean. I will say this: I love President Trump. I love our country, the greatest country in the world, the USA. And I love our great American people, and I will definitively say this, my friend. I love President Trump, and President Trump loves me, and that's how it will always
all right.
be, my friend.
So, well, let me ask you this. So you've asked President Trump to be your running mate. Is that true?
Wow, the news really has gotten around, my friend. Yes, that is correct, and I'll give you some context to that as well, my friend. President Donald J. Trump is my desired vice president pick, and I will say this. Like I said, my friend, I've met with President Donald J. Trump.
Uh-huh.
I have visited Mar-a-Lago a few times, and I have a verbal endorsement from someone who has worked with President Donald J. Trump. I believe he still works with President Donald J. Trump at Mar-a-Lago for about 10 to 15 years. He's a great American veteran. And I will say this, my friend. I am, in my opinion, I am the most courageous person on the political stage, not compared
all right.
to my...
Well, Gary, yeah, we've given you some time there, but that computer is going to cut us off, so we're going to have to leave it there. But at least we got your word out. I guess he's launching his campaign, and he knows somebody at Mar-a-Lago who has endorsed him. So there you go, Gary from Cedar Rapids. We'll be right back. Dinesh D'Souza has done it again. His new eye-opening movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, illuminates a 3,000-year-old mystery about Israel, the dark resurrection, and the end of days. The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation, but what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy of Israel? After the horrific attack of October 7th, The Dragon's Prophecy offers new understanding on Israel, radical Islam, anti-Semitism, and biblical prophecy. Could it be that the fate of the world, of all humanity itself, is tied to what we're seeing in the Middle East? Based on the number one international bestseller by Jonathan Cahn, The Dragon's Prophecy reveals how another realm could be transforming our world as we speak. Don't miss Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, in theaters two nights only, October 6th and 8th, streaming and DVDs available October 9th. All tickets and pre-orders at thedragonprophecyfilm.com, thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. You know, Dylan, I think that was a first for us. I don't think we've had a candidate actually declare on the Todd Stearns radio show, but Gary from Waterloo, Iowa, announcing that he is running for president and that he wants Donald J. Trump to be his vice president.
He's shooting for the stars.
I mean, you may as well, you know, go big, go home, as they say.
Yeah.
There you go. And he ran for Congress before. He ran for Congress in California, I believe, as well as Florida. And now they're in Iowa announcing, I guess, you know, it's a good place to start. Iowa, you got the caucuses out there, so, or the caucus, as they call it. So good luck to you, Gary, out there on the campaign trail. And for the record, I don't do endorsements, so just want to throw that out there. I do not endorse. So, all right. So he may be the first to throw his name in that. My question, though, is, and he played the political card. He didn't answer it, right? What happens if Trump decides he wants to run for a third term? Is Gary going to stand down and allow President Trump to, you know, go back to the White House, or will, you know, Gary try to primary President Trump? We will find out. So, fortunately, we've got a good couple of years to go before. Well, that's a long ways away.
We got to follow this story.
I'm just trying to get to Friday. I really am. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Hey, we have an update on this story out of the University of Delaware, where the student TV station thanked Charlie Kirk's killer. And I want to share this. I want to read this statement. This, again, from the Delaware Republican Party. Gene Truono. As an alumnus of the University of Delaware, I find this especially troubling. When I was a student, there was a level of civility and respect that would never have allowed something like this to be broadcast. The university owes its students, parents, and alumni real answers. Our state's flagship university must take immediate action to investigate this incident, identify who allowed it, and ensure that nothing like this ever happens again. Silence and cover-ups cannot replace accountability. The Delaware Republican Party emphasized that political bias and calls to violence have no place in taxpayer-supported institutions. The party is calling on the University of Delaware to launch a transparent investigation, release the findings to the public, and implement measures to prevent future incidents. So look, here's the deal. I mean, it's really, it's a pretty simple thing. The president of the university doesn't know what's going on at the student TV station, and why would he? He's got people in charge of that. So you haul everybody in, faculty advisors, everybody involved in the production of the TV show, and say, okay, who was responsible for this? And the students will, you know, if they admit it, that, you know, if they were all on the show, here's the deal. The president should do this. All right, let's just say you've got 10 people working on the show staff. What you do is you bring them all in, and the university president says, okay, who was responsible for this? The first person to respond gets to keep their scholarship and their place at the university. Everybody else gets expelled. And I guarantee you, a hand would shoot up and somebody would spill the beans. That simple. And then you take a look at the faculty advisor sitting there sheepishly in the corner and say, faculty advisor, you're fired. Boom. That's it. That's how you solve it. put out a press release, explain what you did, everybody's happy. But there's really no need for an investigation. Just haul everybody in and throw down the hammer. At least, well, that's what I would do, at least. So my question, though, is what do we do with all of these college students that are out there celebrating and the faculty that are celebrating the assassination of Charlie? Because a lot of these universities are now backtracking. You know, early on, they were firing these professors or suspending them. Now they're bringing them back, saying, oopsie, our bad. It's all right. Just don't do it again. I don't know if that works, but at what point do you say, you know what, these are the kinds of people we want teaching our kids. These are the kinds of people that we want influencing the next generation. I don't know about you. I don't want somebody who supports political violence teaching kids in a taxpayer-funded classroom. I don't think they ought to be in any classroom in America. I mean, we're going to be honest about it here. This is insane. The fact that the University of Delaware could put something like that on TV. I tell you, folks, we've got big, big problems in this country, and it's going to take more than a Trump term in office to fix all of this. It really is. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we've got a lot of work to do between now and the midterms. And I have to give credit where credit is due. And I think that the congressional Republicans are doing a great job of owning the narrative when it comes to this Schumer shutdown. I mean, even CNN, and CNN's been asking Democrats some very tough questions, because even CNN, and I think everybody outside of Democrat leadership understands what's going on. And I think even Democrat leadership knows that they're screwed. Democrat leadership is just terrified of these mean girls. I mean, these gals are vicious. And you don't want people like, I don't know, AOC and Jasmine Crockett. You don't want those folks coming after you. That's why Chuck Schumer is freaking out here. All right. This, by the way, here is Speaker Mike Johnson weighing in just a little while ago on the government shutdown. Take a listen.
Let's make absolutely clear what's happening here. Real pain is being inflicted upon the American people because 44 Democrats in the Senate have voted for the third time to reject the completely nonpartisan, completely clean, very simple 24-page continuing resolution that we passed in the House here 2 weeks ago. Now, why did we do that? For a refresher for everyone. We have been working very hard, this leadership team, to get Congress working again. Congress has not done the appropriations process appropriately for many years now. And so we have forced the muscle memory back. Our appropriators have done a great job in bipartisan fashion, by the way. And they've worked very hard and passed 12 separate appropriations bills through the committee, as is supposed to be done. We passed three of those off the House floor. The Senate did its work. For the first time in years, the Senate passed three appropriations bills off the floor. Those bills don't match up exactly. So the way the system works, everybody remembers from civics, is that when the two chambers have bills that don't align perfectly, you put together a conference committee. That's been done. All of that work's been done very deliberately, very carefully, and as good stewards of taxpayer resources. The problem is we ran out of time because the end of the fiscal year is September 30th. So we sent over, we did the logical, simple, good faith thing. Instead of loading up a continuing resolution to keep the lights on, to keep the government open so this process can continue, instead of loading it up with poison pills or gimmicks or tricks, we sent over a very simple continuing resolution that every single Democrat in the Senate has voted for in the past, just to keep the government open for the people, so that we could get to November 21st, 7 weeks, to allow more time for this process to play out. That is what happened. Now, the Democrats did something they'd never done before. Chuck Schumer has led them all to vote against it.
All right. Well, there you go. And he's not wrong there. Again, Speaker Mike Johnson. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Harry in Texas. Harry, what part of Texas are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Aggieland.
All right. Very good. Well, Harry, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm Republican. I'm real strong, and I don't disagree with the shutdown. But I think Republicans could have done more to prevent the shutdown. and I go to Mike Johnson, who stands up there and say all they need is 7 more weeks for the to get this stopped. Well, why did they take a month off?
Well, Harry, that's a great question. And, Harry, you will remember, and Harry's reminding us that back during the summer when the House of Representatives should have been hard at work, they were on vacation. And there have been a lot of folks, and we were calling them out, Harry, on this program, a lot of other shows. But to your point, I think you're right. There could be some blame there.
Well, I mean, the people that I hate the worst about the shutdown is our veterans and stuff, you know. And if we could have avoided this with just not taking a vacation and working through it, if all we needed was 7 weeks to solve this, then why didn't we do it?
Harry, it's a fair question. I will say this. In this particular instance, though, they could have done that. I don't think it would have mattered one bit, because these Democrats they're thinking that, first of all, it's AOC and Jasmine Crockett and Ilhan Omar. They're the ones that are forcing this, right? The progressive wing of the party. And Schumer knows that this is a losing proposition, but it's his job as the minority leader to get out there and sell this piece of garbage, and nobody's buying it. You know, even CNN and PMS Now, even they understand that the Democrats are backed into a corner here. But the reality is the progressives want to use this to hurt Donald Trump, and that's why they're doing it. So even if they would not have taken a vacation, I think we would still be in the same spot we're in right now.
I'm in 100% agreement there. You know, I think we need to take some accountability for it, you know.
Harry, thank you for that call. And it's a good thought. And if we want to have that argument, we can. I would contend the bigger issue here is we are still spending money at Biden era levels. That's my concern. Okay, can we talk for just a minute? We have a lot of Virginia listeners. What in the world is going on right now in your elections? This is nuts. This is a headline from the Virginia official Democrat Party in Virginia. John Reed, by the way, is a talk host. He is running to be lieutenant governor, and he is openly gay. And he's a Republican. He's a conservative. And there's been a lot of controversy about that, but it's been coming from, well, it has been coming from the Republicans, but predominantly from the Democrats. Well, now, this is the headline. Someone sent this to me, and I'm curious to hear from our Virginia listeners about what's happening there. Democrats are slamming John Reed over a blog that promoted slave fetish and Nazi porn accounts. Now, I'm going to get real with you for a second. I did not have this in the Virginia election bingo card. I didn't think we were going to be talking about slave fetish or Nazi porn. But those are the allegations now coming from the Democrats. From the American Journal News, a pornographic blog linked to Virginia Lieutenant Governor candidate John Reed shared content from accounts that fetishized Nazism and sexual violence. So the Democrats are calling this all shocking. Okay, well, I mean, if it's real, if it's authentic, there's not a statement from the Reed campaign on these allegations coming from the Virginia Democrat Party. According to the Virginia Democrat Party, the accounts that Reed appears to have promoted and engaged with are full of hateful, racist, bigoted imagery. And they go on from there. They have a lot of elected leaders in Virginia weighing in on this. There is no place for white supremacist extremism or sexualized violence in any situation, especially in our government. Virginians do not want a lieutenant governor who is associated with such vile online content. So I don't know what gay Nazi porn is, and I don't care to know, to be perfectly blunt about that. So let's hope the Republicans get their act together and get this all sorted out, because we can't afford to lose races based on stupid stuff, right? Okay, got to take a break here. and then go throw up. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. This item from Harvard University. Dylan, you're fresh off the university track. You've got your degree from the University of Memphis. Did you ever have to take any weird classes? Anything odd?
Trying to think. I don't think I had to take anything other than what I had to. I really was just trying to push through.
Well, this story from the New York Post. Harvard University's newest professor is a drag queen named Lahore Vajistan. Oh, my. I don't think I visited that country. Not sure I'm interested in it. Wonder what kind of papers you have to have. Anyway, Lahore Vajistan is a drag performer known out of drag as Kareem Chubbakandi Chandi, an Indian dude. I think I got that name.
Sounds like a Star Wars character.
So anyway, Lahore is Professor. Let me back up here. Professor Vajistan is going to be giving lectures as part of its Studies of Gender and Sexuality program at Harvard. Professor Vajistan holds a bachelor's degree in sociology and anthropology, as well as a master's degree and PhD in performance studies from Northwestern University. So he says his research focuses on the intersection between queer nightlife, global politics, ethnography, the South Asian diaspora. Whoops. Oh, I misspoke there, people. My apologies. And drag. He's one of these drag queens. Not exactly a classic beauty, as we would say. He basically looks like a man in drag. So his persona, Lahore Vajistan, has been widely committed as everyone's favorite South Asian academic auntie who brings the nightclub to the classroom. Interesting. So the class is going to be based on RuPaul's Drag Race, which is a huge reality show. People love this thing. And they're going to be talking about how RuPaul brings drag and politics together. So there you have it at Harvard University. I just don't get this. And now you understand why the kids are turning out the way they're turning out. So because of people like Lahore Vajistan.
How many credits is this class? Do you know?
Ooh, that's a good. It's a spring and fall semester, by the way.
It better be 3. That's like the most you can get.
You think so? By the way, pinknews.com, it's a gay publication. They're very upset because people are mocking Professor Vajistan, and they're accusing people of opposing the class of being homophobic. Is that true? By the way, Professor Vanjostan wrote a book called Decolonize Drag, Exiting Gay Indian Nightlife. you can't make this stuff up, folks. But again, this is what, if you're a parent, this is what you're paying for at Harvard University. And the problem is that most of our senators and congresspeople and presidents and Supreme Court justices all come from the Ivy Leagues. There you go. All right, hang tight, everybody. Our good buddy Dinesh D'Souza coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome, everybody. This is hour two of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. I have a simple question for you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want President Trump to send the National Guard to your town or your city? Is crime so far out of control that you want to see the president sending in federal agencies to root out the criminal thugs? Yes or no? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And I just want to say something, and I want to hear from our Memphis listeners on this, because for the past 48 hours now, we have seen the National Guard come to town. We have seen hundreds of federal law enforcement officers from all the alphabet agencies coming into our great city. And let me tell you something. It is a new day in Memphis, Tennessee. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they said that for the first time in a long time, they haven't heard gunfire outside of their home at night, that they haven't heard people driving around and doing the wheelies and the donuts and all that kind of stuff in the streets. The police are not messing around. And it has been an incredible thing already. And they're just getting started. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, what's the big deal? Because after the National Guard and after the federal troops leave, then the thugs are just going to come back. No, actually, they're not. Because the thugs, these gangbangers, and our understanding is almost 100 people have been arrested now. And we're talking about high-profile criminals. We're talking about gang leaders. And they're not going to the local judge. They're not going to the George Soros-funded district attorney's office for prosecution. No. These are going to be federal charges. These guys are going to be doing hard time in the federal pen. President Trump's not playing hardball. So yesterday evening, Attorney General Pam Bondi and Stephen Miller and Pete Hegseth came to town, and they met in a huge warehouse, and they had all of the Memphis Police Department officers there. They had all the federal agencies there, a massive crowd of people. And they put down the law. And I love this. I want you to listen to Stephen Miller talking to the Memphis police officers yesterday. Take a listen.
To the Memphis Police Department, to the officers that I see sitting in front of me, we are about to provide you with a level of support you cannot even imagine. This isn't just a task force. This is a all-of-government unlimited support operation. ATF, DEA, FBI, ICE, Department of War, every resource we have. And they're not going to be sitting behind a desk at a keyboard. We are sending in real cops with guns and badges to go out with you on the street every single night making arrests. These are people who have taken down drug cartels, kingpins, the worst criminal offenders in the United States, standing with you shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. All we ask from you is to show up at roll call every single night with your brothers and sisters in the federal government and to go out and get the criminals off the street. And if you do that, I pledge to you, We will liberate this city from the criminal element that has plagued it for generations. This is not just a strategy shift. This is an attitude shift. We are not going to live in an environment anywhere where there is a street that belongs to a criminal, where there is a neighborhood that belongs to a gang, where there is any physical space anywhere that belongs to anyone other than the law-abiding citizens and families of Memphis. The idea that there is a square inch of block in this city where a citizen doesn't feel safe is unacceptable. This is Memphis, this is the United States of America, and all that bullshit is done. It's over, it's finished.
Yeah, Dylan, come back. No, you can't. Dylan's already grabbed his gun, and he wants to be deputized.
I'm hyped up.
Dylan, calm down. Well, I'm telling you, there were people in across Western Tennessee who were listening to this message from Stephen Miller who were ready to join militias, get into the pickup trucks, come to Memphis, and let's fight the bad guys, and let's give the keys of the city back to the law-abiding citizens.
I'm not trying to like downgrade his like position, but he would be a fantastic SEC coach. Alabama should be calling him.
They
right
need
now.
Some help. They do need some help down in Alabama, no doubt about it. But this so energizes me, and I'm telling you that I have seen people, and they've been writing about this on social media. People are weeping because they were losing hope. And you have business owners, and I'm one of those business owners. I didn't lose hope, but it's been tough. It's really been tough, ladies and gentlemen, because it was for so long, it was as if nobody had our back. And you had City Hall and the Democrats running City Hall and the DEI hire who was the police chief. And they're out there telling people, don't believe your lying eyes, that crime is at its lowest numbers in the history of the city. And the problem are people like Todd Starnes who constantly talks about the danger out there. And people were just getting tired, and they were surrendering, packing up and leaving, just like they're doing in California, just like they're doing in New York. And it's almost a sense of hopelessness. So when you see, and it was beautiful, I wish I could paint the visual picture for you. As Air Force Two was coming in for a landing at Memphis International Airport, where people were just stopping along the interstate and they were filming, and people would stop and as the motorcade was coming by with the Attorney General and the War Secretary and Stephen Miller, and people are cheering. I don't care what you hear in the legacy media, 84% of the population here, in a majority black city, by the way, they are overjoyed and overwhelmed by what is happening in our city right now. Just got a text message from our good friend Vicky Gandy, who is one of the great realtors here in the city. Todd, can I join? I've got my pistols. God love you, Vicky. I love that. I mean, you've got the women of Memphis, and man, do they look good. Everybody's been down to the hairdressers, and I was talking to the lovely Miss Kristen, who does my hair and makeup. And, you know, she didn't have a lot to work with, but she makes me look presentable on TV. She said that she's got customers lined up wanting to look their best for the soldiers. You got the women out there cooking, making homemade cookies and casseroles, trying to feed the troops. Oh, by the way, I've got to tell you about this. Elon Musk. God bless Elon Musk. You know what he did, Dylan? He actually, because I saw the troops were eating Chick-fil-A. So, you know, they're eating good food here. So Elon Musk bought Chick-fil-A for all of the law enforcement that are gathered here in Memphis. I just think that's beautiful. And then today, I hope they like Chick-fil-A because they're getting it again, because Pam Bondi and Pete Hegseth and Stephen Miller are footing the bill for the sandwiches today.
They don't have a lot of those up north. So, I mean, when you're here, you got to get it, right?
Let me tell you something. I've already reached out to the White House, and I've said, we want to be able to do our part, and we're gonna feed the troops. I said, you know, we're gonna treat them to some good barbecue. So I said, you got to let me know, how can we do that? How can we make that happen? And so the White House is getting back to us, but we're gonna do our part to make sure the troops, you know, at least are well fed and watered as they head out. But this is what's so exciting, ladies and gentlemen, about this country right now, because Donald Trump cares. He He gives a damn. And that's all we're asking. And all the things that you are seeing right now, all of it, this could have been handled by the Republican governor of Tennessee. The Republican governor of Tennessee could have sent in the National Guard 3 years ago, but he didn't do it. And I don't know why. You can ask him. He won't come on this program. He hates my guts. And he's enraged that I asked President Trump to send the National Guard to Memphis. Furious about that. And now he's trying to take credit for it. These politicians. Jeez, Alou. And then you've got the mayor. The mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, could have done something about all of this, but he didn't. Instead, he invited the gang leaders and the gang bangers to City Hall the first week after he was elected so he could have some cookies and milk with the gangbangers, and he literally asked the gangbangers, these leaders, these gang lords, what would it take to get them to stop carjacking the good people of Memphis? Are you kidding me, Mayor Urkel? What the heck is wrong with you? And now comes this word, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. The local media here, they're not standing up alongside law enforcement. And I'm not saying every single person in the media is pro-thug, but enough of them are. And what really shocked me, I want to read this to you from Fox 13. This is the Fox affiliate in Memphis. Fox 13 is committed to monitoring the movements of federal authorities across Memphis and documenting the impact the Memphis Safe Task Force has on our community. If you see federal authorities such as U.S. Marshals, FBI, DEA, ATF, or National Guard, send Fox 13 a tip with their location. You can also upload pictures and video of the encounter. That's a dangerous thing that the media is doing right now, because Fox 13 and these others, and they're not the only ones doing this, they're putting targets on the backs of law enforcement. Now, I've told our staff at the radio station, KWAM, I said, we will not be monitoring the movements of federal authorities. We will not be alerting the bad guys that police officers may be in their neighborhood. We're not doing that. We're not tipping off these thugs. And it enrages me, ladies and gentlemen, that you've got media in Memphis, Tennessee. And by the way, The media, of all people, should know how bad it is, because they cover every single murder, every shooting, every stabbing, every carjacking. That's the only thing they cover. Meanwhile, they're going to turn around, and when help finally shows up in this town, when help finally arrives, they've decided they're going to side with the thug. What the heck is wrong with those people? This enrages me, and it disgusts me. Shame on you. Any news agency that tracks and monitors the movement of law enforcement, they're not reporting the news. They're aiding and abetting the criminals. And that's just unacceptable in my book, just unacceptable. So all that to say, shame on the media. Shame on the Democrats here. By the way, God love, you got to love CNN's here. All the media's here in Memphis, all of them. And some guy was trolling CNN with a giant sign that said the Democrats were to blame for what's happening here. And on the other side of the sign, the guy was thanking President Trump for coming to town. And I just want to say, Mr. President, on behalf of my hometown, thank you. We really appreciate it. And there's a lot of great stuff happening here. And there's a lot of great stuff happening in your towns and communities, too. I have no doubt about that. And that's why I'm curious if you want the National Guard coming to your neighborhoods. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, 901-260-5926. Dylan, we got something weird in the mail. I went downstairs during the commercial break, and I noticed there was a package leaning against the door. And I should never open these things.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You should make me do this.
It wasn't ticking.
You don't have a bomb suit.
So that's true. Wait, you've got a bomb
We have a Todd Stearns bomb suit up here, you know?
So anyway, it was from Amazon Prime, and there was no return address. So, of course, you know, I rip it open, and inside there's this little I'm holding it up for our audience.
Makes noise.
It's a little bag with red hearts, and inside the bag, it's sort of like a sheer bag with red hearts, are little stones that have been shaped into hearts.
So someone sent you rocks in a heart-shaped bag.
I don't know what that means.
You have a secret admirer, it seems.
Well, that's a little creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a message or I don't know what the deal is.
Are those like those spirit rocks where you like rub spirit them together rocks. And weird things happen?
What?
I don't know.
I've never heard of such a thing.
You know, they sell those rocks that are like spiritual, whatever. I don't know. Interesting gift, though.
Very strange. I'm trying to figure out who sent it to us and why. What's the meaning? Am I hard-hearted? Is that what they're cold-hearted? Stone-hearted?
At least they didn't throw them, you know. Well, they didn't throw the rocks.
Yeah, at least it didn't explode. Yeah. I mean, we got that going for us, at least. All right, welcome back. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Man, I am telling you, the controversy surrounding Bad Bunny. So Bad Bunny is this Puerto Rican dude. He's a superstar. And the NFL believes that this is the guy that's going to put a lot of eyeballs in front of the TV screens on Super Bowl Sunday. And it just seems to me, and I may be wrong here, Dylan, but it seems to me that between the game itself and the commercials, you've got a built-in audience. I'm not sure how many people are actually watching the Super Bowl just for the halftime show.
No, there's like two separate fans, one for the commercials and then one for the game. And then the halftime is like an extra add-on if they like the artist.
It's very strange because I've never been a big fan of the halftime show. I don't know. They've always seemed to fall flat.
Yeah, I mean, they used to be really good. And then like since then, it's just gotten progressively worse. Maybe a few hits here and there, but this one is probably an all-time low.
I mean, there was, how long ago was Michael Jackson? That was like before you were, 90s, yeah. 93. Then you had Prince, who did a great job, yeah. And people really like Beyonce. I'm not a big Beyonce fan.
It was okay.
Yeah. So, but those are the ones that people really talk about. Michael Jackson, Prince, Beyonce. Is there another, I'm just curious, and maybe our audience can remember like a memorable Super Bowl performance. I mean, you got to throw in, she didn't do halftime, but she did the national anthem, Whitney Houston.
Yep.
That's like, I mean, it's iconic.
She should have done halftime probably because her national anthem was fantastic.
Unbelievable. I think that has been unmatched.
Yeah.
Aside from, was it Chris Stapleton?
Yep.
Who did the guitar version?
Yeah.
Or wow.
It was just him and the guitar. And, you know, his voice is very good. So I would like to see him do halftime. I think they're reverse psychologizing us. It's so bad that we can't not watch it. That's just my theory.
Well, and now, you know, apparently the guy, this is the breaking news, though. So the guy has not been in the continental U.S. He refuses to do concerts here because of the illegal alien, you know, raids, right? The ICE raids. So now we're getting word that ICE is going to have a full contingent of agents on hand at the Super Bowl for the performance. I'm loving this. I'm loving it. It's brilliant. So now ICE is literally trolling the Super Bowl halftime show. So Bad Bunny is not really saying much about this other than the fact that he is going to be attending, and that his performance is going to be for his people, his culture, and their history. So America's most famous sports night is going to be about another country, is basically what the guy is saying. Hey, got to take a break. Phone lines are lighting up. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Dylan, I was going all the way back in time. 1967, the year of my birth. Was that Super Bowl I, I guess? Super Bowl I. The halftime show performance at the Super Bowl, the University of Arizona, and the Grambling State Marching Bands.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until 1970 they had the very first celebrity halftime performer. You know who it was? Take a wild guess. 1970.
Oh, the Beatles.
It wasn't the Beatles.
Okay.
I was going to tell you to guess the Beatles. It wasn't the Beatles.
Well, they're not American. I shouldn't have guessed that.
Well, hello, Dolly.
Dolly.
No. Not Dolly Parton.
Okay, you know I'm not old enough for this.
It's Carol Channing.
Okay, who's?
So the irony is Carol Channing, who was a great Broadway actress, and she had a big old voice. She was belting out but she was like an icon of the drag queen movement.
Wow.
Google Carol Channing, okay. And you'll see a photograph of her.
So,
all right. Hey, real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. John in Atlanta, we are talking about favorite halftime Super Bowl performances. John, I understand you've got a fave.
Yes, sir. Hey, Todd. Good to talk to you. Greetings from Hot Atlanta. The best Super Bowl ever performer was Paul McCartney in Jacksonville. It was my Eagles who lost to the Patriots. But during the halftime show, it was live. He played nonstop, Drive My Car, Get Back, Live and Let Die, and Hey Jude. And the crowd was cheering like somebody scored a touchdown.
Wow. Those are the awesome experiences. And it seems to me, and the whole point of that, John, is everybody knew the songs, everybody's singing along, having a good time.
Absolutely, and he was one of the Fab Four.
So are you a Bad Bunny fan?
Oh, no, absolutely not. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn off the TV, turn off the recorder, and when he's done, then I'll turn it back on so they don't get any ratings.
What you want to do is call up on YouTube the Paul McCartney performance back in 05.
Yeah, that's it. Now, I got the second best. It was the Colts who beat the Bears in South Florida and Miami. The halftime show was Prince, and he played Purple Rain in the Pouring Rain.
That's brilliant. Wow. Now, 97, you had the Blues Brothers Bash. So you had Aykroyd, Belushi, John Goodman and James Brown. Oh, and wow. ZZ Top. Oh, my God. I forgot all about that one. Those are the good old days.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, John, I sure do appreciate you calling in. All right.
Pleasure.
That's John from Atlanta. Luke Symbol just popped into the studio, our great Republican strategist, every Thursday. Luke, you just got back from Washington, D.C. You were with State Senator Brent Taylor testifying up on Capitol Hill about the crazy crime in Memphis. What was that experience like?
You know what really struck me? I go to D.C. probably three times a year. I was born there, a lot of family and friends there, business there. And the city is almost unrecognizable from a year ago. When I stayed in the city, I stayed on K Street. There were two parks between the hotel, and you couldn't walk through the parks because there were so many homeless people, rats running around, tents, tarps, human excrement on the ground, and now it's like a totally different city. The parks are clean, the grass is cut, the gum has been washed off of the sidewalks. It is a clean city, it is a safe city, and the Senate Judiciary hearing was all about crime around the country and in these blue cities and what the Trump administration is going to do and how the Trump administration can help clean up our great American cities that are in distress, like Memphis, which we're in right now, Todd. And I feel so much hope. And if the Trump administration is able to do in Memphis what they did in Washington, D.C., our city is going to be transformed. I'm so encouraged.
Yeah, I'm excited about this and the troops being here. It's so funny. I mean, it's unbelievable the number of military personnel and law enforcement. Just got a message on the Citizen app that there are helicopters hovering overhead in some area nearby where we are right now. I guess there's some sort of police action going on. But the fact of the matter is, Luke, that this all could have been done, mm-hmm, without presidential involvement. And yet the Democrats who control Memphis and the, well, we'll just leave it at the Democrats who control Memphis, they didn't do anything.
Well, true. And I think this is a lesson also to, if you live in a red state with a blue city where there is out of control crime, Republican legislatures, Republican governors, don't be afraid to go clean up your cities. You have cover from the Trump administration. Don't wait for the feds to have to come in. Mobilize your own state's guard and get into these cities and clean it up. The American people are behind you, and you're going to have a small faction of activists shouting racist, but listen, the people are behind you, and the folks in Memphis and every background, every walk of life, every neighborhood are excited to have their communities cleaned up.
I do wonder, you know, you look at, for example, a city like Gainesville, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, and are they, you know, are you folks dealing with crime that's really spilling over from the Atlanta metro area? What about, gosh, Salem, Oregon? What a beautiful, fun town. Home of KYK and our great affiliate, you guys are getting the spillover from Portland. Mm-hmm. So again, if there are opportunities for the National Guard to go into those areas, I'm all for that. I want to ask you a question. We're going to go to the phones here in just a moment. I want to ask you a question. We just got a call. Dylan took a call from a few moments ago. And Dylan, turn your microphone on. I want you to tell Luke that we had a police officer call in, a Memphis police officer. They were in that huge meeting yesterday with Pam Bondi. You had Pete Hegseth and Stephen Miller, and they were just rallying the troops. Mm-hmm. They leave, and Dylan, I want you to tell us what that police officer told us.
Yeah, he said immediately after they left, his higher-ups told him to not use the resources that Pam Bondi and them were bringing over to Memphis, but to keep doing exactly what they were doing before they came over. So they weren't going to be using any of those resources.
Unacceptable. And God bless that police officer for being willing to call in. God bless your show, Todd, for being a platform for these folks who to call in. That is unacceptable. And we're going to take care of it. And I will text the mayor when I leave this studio to say, what the heck is going on? Because we have got to support our police, and we're going to clean up our city whether you like it or not.
I've had 7 or 8 separate emails and messages from law enforcement and people I know to be in law enforcement that have said the exact same thing, that they were told by command staff, do not listen to Pam Bondi or Stephen Miller or Pete Hegseth, that the police chief is in charge, and that's who they answer to. Also getting reports that the Shelby County Sheriff's Office has been told to not engage in any sort of high-speed chases with Memphis police officers or the Tennessee Highway Patrol. If this is true, and I hope it's not, I trust all of these officers. They're very honest people, and I know them. I know several of them personally. But if this is true, this has to be remedied immediately. And if that means the government coming in and removing the mayor and removing the police chief and anybody else in charge, they've got to do that.
I agree. We are going to clean up our city, whether local officials like it or not. Enough is enough. It is time for the law-abiding citizens of Memphis and these other cities around the country to take back their communities so that we can live in peace, and we're going to get it done.
All right, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Carrie is in Memphis listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Carrie. What's on your mind?
I got a couple of things on my mind. First of all, as far as the Bad Bunny situation goes, I think President Trump should get a little political here and play a little bit of political games with the left. After all, they would do it to us. I think President Trump should just have Bad Bunny's passport revoked and refuse to let him in until after the Super Bowl was over.
Well, I like that, but I believe Bad Bunny's Puerto Rican, and so that's one of our territories, so
darn it.
May have to let him in after all. But that would be funny.
That would be.
Gary, what do you think about the troops?
And everything? Yeah. Well, that previous interview kind of stole my thunder a little bit because, yeah, I'm happy that all these FBI and CIA and whatever, all these people are coming into Memphis to help with the problem. But my point was, I am very upset over one thing, and that is, Paul Young and Lee Harris have not yet been arrested. They have not yet done a perp walk, and that's the number one thing I want to see happen. And maybe I should add the chief of police to the list after the, hearing that interview.
You know, it's a fair question, Mike. You know, at this point, there are a lot of investigations underway, and it does make you wonder, Luke, and Kerry, thank you for that call. It does make you wonder, why is it that you have these Democrats like Mayor Paul Young, like the county mayor, Lee Harris, who, by the way, staunchly opposes, both of them don't want the National Guard here. Why is it they're siding with the criminals? I just don't get that.
I was on a podcast last night with a bunch of local Democrats, and I said the same thing. Why is it that the local Democrat, well, and the National Democrat Party, is siding with criminals and advocating for criminals before they are advocating for the law-abiding citizens? We in Memphis have been living in fear. We do not feel comfortable going out after dark to the grocery store. We do not feel comfortable pumping gas. We do not feel comfortable going to a restaurant downtown because of the crime problem. It is time for us to take our communities back. And this is a winning issue. And any mayor of any city should be welcoming any resources to make their community safer, period. And the people are behind this. We are seeing outcries from all neighborhoods and Democrat strongholds. And we as a party need to go in and say, we hear you and we are going to save your streets. Enough is enough. And it's time for the Republic. We are on offense, and let's get some more voters.
All right, Luke Symbol joining us, Republican strategist. Luke, I want to switch gears for just a moment. Of course, the government shutdown as well. Did you notice, was it dystopian there in Washington on day one of the shutdown?
Yes, and the House has not been there for a couple of weeks because they had already passed their bill. The Senate was still in session, but it was pretty quiet. There were a lot of staffers out to lunch. Folks, and I think they'll enjoy the long weekend. The longer this goes, maybe the more worried they'll get when the paychecks don't come in. But I am really excited that Donald Trump is making very clear that this is a great opportunity to start firing the folks that aren't necessary. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to clean up government. Unfortunately, he is hamstrung with the number of people he can fire when the government is funded. But now that the government is not funded, let's look at some of these offices that are unnecessary and woke and get rid of them and recenter the government on the basics.
All right, Luke, good always seeing you and glad you had a great trip to our nation's capital. Welcome back to the 901.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. Before we do that, I have to tell you about our good buddy, Pastor Lucas Miles, has a brand new book out called Pagan Threat. Now, what's interesting about this book, it is the very last published words of Charlie Kirk. Charlie actually wrote the foreword to Pastor Miles's book, Pagan Threat, a book that we believe could help save America. Charlie, in his foreword, said you've got to read it, you've got to internalize it, and you've got to share the book. It is the plan to stop the wokeism infecting America. Already a number one Amazon bestseller, Pagan Threat is available where books are sold, or you can get it free with Newsmax's special offer right now. You're going to be able to save $30. Just go online to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com. Millions of people tuning into Newsmax on all the major cable systems, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones, and they're getting Pagan Threat to read Charlie's final words. PaganThreat.com. That's PaganThreat.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. Coming up, Stephen Hilton. He's running for governor in California. What a mess that state is. And may I just say, if you are in California and you're a conservative, stay put. Don't go anywhere, right? We've got to stop this nonsense of migrating to other states just because things are not going well. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to fix what's broken in California. And a lot of this, by the way, a lot of it has to, the blame has to be on conservatives, Republicans, for doing a lousy job of messaging over the years. I mean, really, we've got to understand that we've got to do a better job of getting our message out there and being able to get up and, for example, getting out to an event at 6:30 in the morning so that you can encourage a bunch of young conservative kids. Those are going to be future voters one day. And we've got to make sure that we're doing our part to spread the message of conservatism. I mean, it really is that simple. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There is an amazing story out of Auburn University. And I've got the – we posted a picture over on our Facebook page, and I hope you go check this out. Because it's really I just think it's pretty darn inspirational. I really do. There is a young lady, and she's a senior there, and she's a big Charlie Kirk fan, like a good many college kids. And she is from a farm, and she decided that she was going to honor Charlie by creating something on the farm. Her name is Maddie Jackson, and she created a hay sculpture, like bales of hay, right? And she painted this image that looks like Charlie Kirk on the side of these big rolls of hay. I mean, it's pretty impressive. And then she has, along with this sculpture, they're calling it the hay sculpture, there are placards that say, "This is the turning point in memory of Charlie Kirk, and tell someone about Jesus today." And we've got the photo there, and I encourage you to go and, I mean, just thousands of you have shared this and liked it, and it's just really just a nice reminder that there are good kids out there, and God bless you, Maddie Jackson, and we wish you nothing but the very best as you get out there and you start your career. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Meanwhile, in Cherry Creek School District, that's in Denver, Cherry Creek School District, they are now ordering all principals to commit to interrupting the role and presence of whiteness. In other words, they are openly encouraging discrimination against children of the Caucasian persuasion. We have this up on our website as well, or rather our Facebook page, and you can actually read it for yourself. But this is from the Board of Education study session, and they say that our collective commitment as middle school leaders is to examine and deepen our understanding of race and the impact it has on our students within our school communities. We commit to interrupt the role and presence of whiteness as we identify and disrupt biases and the marginalization of students. So let me get this straight. So they're going to do that by marginalizing white kids. Really? That's the best way to accomplish that task? Here's a thought, Cherry Creek Schools. How about just focusing on teaching the kids how to learn to read and write and do math? How about that? Lord love them, I guarantee you, the poor kids can't even know their own pronouns. It's really sad. All right, hang tight, everybody. Again, Steve Hilton coming up next, running for governor in California. Plus your calls as well, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So, Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. The guy just has a way with words. And the senator just last night on Hannity summed up the situation with Chuck Schumer, of course, the author, the architect of the Schumer shutdown. Here's what Senator Kennedy had to say.
And I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know Mr. Jeffries that well. I know Senator Schumer very well. So I say this with respect. Chuck and Hakeem need to go to Amazon, buy some testicles, and stand up to the loon wing of their party.
Yeah, I love that idea. Those two are terrified. And the reason why shut down Schumer is terrified is he's afraid that AOC may run against him in the U.S. Senate race out of New York. That's a big threat. As a matter of fact, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen was on Fox News just a little while ago, and he reaffirmed that idea.
This has all happened because the Schumer shutdown, because he's fearful of AOC running against him in 2028. If the Democrats are really concerned, they could open the government up in 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes. We already have a bipartisan bill that three Democrats have voted for. We just need five more of them to join with us, and we can open the government up.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think they're going to try to schedule another vote before the weekend, and then they'll regroup on Monday. President Trump announcing on True Social that he's got a meeting today with Russ Vought over at the OMB, and he said that they're going to figure out which Democrat agencies will be cut and whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent. The president going on to say, I can't believe the radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity. They are not stupid people, so maybe this is their way of wanting to quietly and quickly make America great again. Wow. Presidential level trolling again coming from our great president. So we will see. We're hearing as many as 300,000 jobs could be cut, and those cuts could be permanent. And if in fact these are non-essential programs, then I say just cut away, Mr. President. You do what you need to do. Wow. This just makes my heart feel good. It truly does. Meanwhile, of course, national parks are among those impacted by the shutdown, and certainly not a lot of fun for you folks out on vacation, but that's just the reality of what's happening here. And by the way, it's all on the Democrats. This is the Schumer shutdown. Want to go to a conversation I had with our good buddy Tony Perkins. Hillary Clinton is out there making the rounds, and she's saying that all of you straight white guys who are Christian are the problem in America now. Tony also weighing on the Southern Poverty Law Center. So the Southern Poverty Law Center, and Tony's got a column up at Newsmax on this. The Southern Poverty Law Center is based in Alabama, and they go around and they label a lot of these conservative organizations as domestic hate groups. Now, hear me on this. They're not domestic hate groups, but that's because the Southern Poverty Law Center is a far leftist organization, and they're basically putting targets on all of these groups like American Family Association, Family Research Council, and believe it or not, Turning Point USA. So anyway, we covered a lot of ground with Tony. Let's take a listen. Tony Perkins. Tony, good to have you with us. Hatred of conservatives. It's not just rhetoric anymore. It's becoming menacing, even deadly. That's according to an op-ed that you wrote today and is live right now on Newsmax.com. Tell us about it.
I will. And I think, look, Hillary Clinton is one that's feeding that. I mean, she specifically pointed out white men. And, you remember, Todd, a few years back, it was the deplorables. Now she's focusing in on white men. But it's not just white men. It's all men. What stands in the way of the left are men of conviction with courage. And that's what we actually see the results of that in the wake of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That you see many millions of Americans paying respect to him because there's a longing for men of conviction who will speak up. And of course, you see the left responding with this type of rhetoric of saying, well, you need to get along, but at the same time, in the same breath, demonizing men who will stand up. Now, you're very familiar with this, Todd, but there's a pattern here on the left, and there's an organization that stands right in the center of it. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right.
And in the op-ed that's on Newsmax, I go back to the shooting that took place at the Family Research Council in 2012, shortly after Southern Poverty Law Center put our organization on their hate map. There was a shooting. One of our employees was severely wounded in that attack. Fortunately, he was stopped. He had 100 rounds of ammunition, but he was disabled and stopped. 2 years later, we had my friend Steve Scalise, who was the majority whip at the time. He, too, was put into a publication on the Hate Watch list at Southern Poverty Law Center. He was shot at the GOP baseball practice. And then, of course, Charlie Kirk, just months before he was assassinated, the Southern Poverty Law Center did an expose on him on their extremism and their hate watch list. There's a connection, Todd. It's not coincidence.
No, no, no. And that's a big problem. And I'm wondering, is there anything that can be done to address this issue? Because it seems to me like the Southern Poverty Law Center is intentionally putting a target on the backs of very prominent conservatives in this country.
Look, we have a bunch of we have some crazy people out there, as we're seeing with these acts of violence. And all they need is someone to affirm their hatred. And that's what the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing. But it's not just that, Todd. They also are working with corporate America. Corporate America has blood on its hands. Apple, Amazon, these organizations, and many of the financial organizations, J.P. Chase, they have been a part of giving money to the Southern Poverty Law Center and using the Southern Poverty Law Center as an index to debank conservatives, to refuse to allow them to participate in certain programs like Amazon's Smile program, and they've been refused services based upon the Southern Poverty Law Center. So it's multifaceted. Connected, I think, to Antifa in the whole mix. And I know the president is going to, he's called for an all-of-government investigation into Antifa. You cannot look at this without looking at the Southern Poverty Law Center and their role in fomenting hatred and violence in this country against conservatives.
And Tony, you also have to look at the Democrat Party here. You had 58 Democrats in the House of Representatives that refused to condemn Charlie's assassination. And those same Democrats refuse to condemn political acts of violence. What does that tell you about the Democrats?
Well, it exposes this. It goes back to Hillary Clinton, as you started, what she had to say about white men of a particular persuasion, particularly religious Christian men. That stands in the way of the agenda of the left. In order for them to gain power, they have to weaken manhood and masculinity, because that then fractures the family and it creates chaos in communities. That gives them leverage for power in bigger government. I know that may sound far-fetched, but we've seen this over and over over the last several decades. That's why they cannot stand men of conviction with courage and masculinity. Men of conviction and courage have been in their crosshairs.
Someone sent me this story from the Buffalo News. Samantha Christman is the writer. She did a nice job, by the way. Well done. The story is about a North Tonawanda church. This is in Buffalo, New York. Every Monday for a generation, the ladies of a church there, a Polish church, would gather to roll, fill, and pinch pierogies by the hundreds. The church ladies shared stories and fellowship, sometimes whispering prayers, working steadily with a near holy reverence for the Polish tradition. The pierogies, I understand, are very good in Buffalo. But now, after nearly four decades, 40 years of feeding the body and soul of the community, the pierogi ministry at the church has made its last batch. Well, that's disappointing. Age and illness have taken their toll on the small but mighty group of volunteers who kept the tradition alive, and there are no church members left who are willing or able to carry the torch of leadership into the next generation. So they've got the story up on the website. I have to imagine there have to be some Polish young people that love pierogies and would love to continue the great ministry of these precious church ladies there in North Tonawanda, New York. So good luck, ladies, and if any of you folks in Buffalo listening to us have a hankering for pinching pierogies, give the church a call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So apparently there is another problem at Netflix. Oh, they just never learn. Someone posted this on X. Every recent movie on Netflix, the white man is the villain, black man is the hero, gay guy is the voice of reason, woman has the balls, dad is an idiot, mom is the breadwinner, children are sexualized. Netflix is social engineering, not entertainment. May I just say, 1,000% accurate. Now, many of you know that I like all kinds of movies. I'm a big Godfather. I love the Godfather-style movies. Love action-adventure, comedies, hilarious, Anchorman, Happy Gilmore. I'm all over that. And I also love British movies. I'm a big fan of the Downton Abbey stuff. It's a great series. But why do you have to insert some sort of a social or culture war agenda into a period piece like Downton Abbey? I mean, why are you doing that? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And because they're shoving an agenda down your throat. So now Elon Musk has announced that he has canceled his Netflix membership. And apparently a lot of you guys are canceling your memberships over this. Elon said, cancel Netflix for the health of your kids. Going after the network's transgender woke agenda as a Trojan horse. All of this is centered around a clip of Netflix's Dead End Paranormal Park. The protagonist says he's transgender. And the allegation is they're pushing a pro-transgender agenda on children because the show is advertised for seven-year-olds. Why would you do that? Why would you promote transgenderism to a seven-year-old? That makes no sense to me. So anyway, Elon, among those, now calling for people, and it's not the first time. I think this happened on the Babysitter's Club and another show as well. All kids shows, by the way. And it does seem like there is something afoot here where they're intentionally going after the children. So, are you boycotting Netflix? Have you canceled Netflix? 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. WSIC, the great Patty. Patty, what's going on? I understand you have some exciting news to share.
I have exciting news, Todd. I love you. And you know what? I am cancer-free.
Patty, the studio audience is just going wild right now. This is huge news.
You know what? I stand with you. I got my 9mm. I'm ready to come to Memphis to help you guys.
Patty, wow. So you're willing to come to join the militia?
Hey, I got my 9mm. I got my burner gun. Let's go, buddy.
Let's go get them. Patty, we'll let you stand guard outside the building.
They don't want to screw with this Sicilian. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, Antifa would run away from me. I'm not kidding.
I love it. They don't want to screw with this Sicilian. I love it.
Yeah. And you want to know something? God is great. He's great, Todd.
Well, he is, Patty. And I know that so many people in our audience have been praying for you, and we get notes from folks, how's Patty doing? And I hope you felt those prayers.
I believe it all came. And you know what? Thank you for... I love you. I love Dylan. I love you guys. You guys have been with me forever. You put up with my nuttiness and whatever. Even I'm not nuts. I'm just, I try to tell the truth, okay? But people take that as being crazy. I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy. You're one of us.
I'm a big MAGA girl. I love being MAGA. You know why? Because I can think on my own. I love being happy. They don't like that. They don't like you to be happy. They don't
it's
like
true.
You to think on your own.
And you know, maybe that's what it is here in Memphis. I've been trying to put my finger on the vibe. People are happy. I think they're relieved, but Patty, they're happy. People see that, wow, we really can conquer crime here.
Yes. You guys need it so bad. We need it here in Charlotte, too. Charlotte's bad. I mean, that poor girl that got stabbed on that train. I mean, you know, and that the father, that Mr. Federico, he went off. And the woman, the Democratic woman, she couldn't even say the name right. That woman, what is wrong with the Democrats? They can't even pronounce names.
You know why? Because they've dehumanized conservatives, Patty. That's the reason why. That they're not, you know, if you are a Republican, if you're a conservative, you are less than human with these people, and they've been conditioned to think that way through our education system. So you've got a lot of people in their 30s and 40s that feel as though that if you have a certain viewpoint they disagree with or they find offensive, that makes you somehow subhuman. And that's why all of this rhetoric is so very dangerous right now.
Well, you know what? I thank God for Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. I don't agree with everything he does, but let me tell you something. This guy loves this country. He loves this country, and I don't care. He I don't care. Antifa, and he will take care of everything. People can complain all they want. But if you go on the street and talk to people, the real people that have to live every day, they will tell you they love what's going on with what he's doing.
Patty, I am so happy to hear from you, and thank you for sharing the incredible news. Congratulations, Patty from North Carolina, cancer-free. You got to feel great.
I feel good. And you know what? I love you, and thank God, and God bless you and your whole staff, okay?
Well, Patty, I appreciate that, and I know they do as well. And I know all of our listeners are celebrating right alongside of you today. And God bless you. Don't be a stranger.
I love them.
All right.
I love you.
Great lady right there. Patty from Statesville, North Carolina. Wow, cancer-free. Thank you, guys. Many of you prayed for Patty. And look, God answered the prayers. And we can celebrate right now. All right, we got to take a break, too, so you can celebrate on the break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, going out to California, Steve Hilton joining us. This is the Todd Stern Show. Excited about our friends over at Patriot Mobile, and they've just updated our landing page, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a free month of service, an entire month of cell phone coverage free of charge, courtesy of America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. So head over to patriotmobile.com/Todd right now, and you'll be able to get an entire free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile, fighting every single day to restore our great nation. And they also have some incredible cell phone coverage. You can also call them if you would prefer to do that. 972-PATRIOT is the number. That's 972-PATRIOT. Be sure to use promo code Todd to get that free month of service, courtesy of our friends over at Patriot Mobile. That's mighty kind of them to do, but they've been so great to our vast audience. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and honored to talk with our good friend Steve Hilton, who is running to be the next governor of California, also a Fox News superstar. Steve, hope you're doing good.
How are you doing? It's wonderful to be with you.
You know, Steve, the campaign first, before we jump into Prop 50, I've got to ask you how the campaign is going out there. And what is it going to take for a Republican to be able to be competitive and win in California?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's going well. I'm on the road all the time. I'm speaking to you from the road. We're literally driving up the 5 freeway through our great Central Valley, the world's greatest agricultural region, being crushed by Gavin Newsom and the Democrats. That's one thing I'm fighting for, our great farmers. It's going well. Basically, in California, we now have this top two system where you have, you know, the top two finishes in the primary, regardless of party, go forward to the general election. Most of the polls, I know it's very early, but most of the polls have me in the top two. A couple of them have had me leading. Now, I don't put too much store by that because it's very early and there's a very divided Democrat field at the moment, but it's encouraging and I'm getting lots of energy and support. So far, so good in terms of the campaign. The real question, of course, is your second part of your yours just now, which is how are we going to win in California? I've never said this is going to be easy, but it's not impossible. And there's some encouraging signs that I think should give us all hope. First of all, there is a majority, a clear majority for change in California. Very steadily for the last 2 years, you've had a strong 60% plus of Californians agreeing that it's time for change, that we're going in the wrong direction. So that's the basis for a change election, as they say, a change of regime. The second encouraging sign was actually what happened in the elections here last year, where you saw 10 out of 58 counties flip from blue to red, including Fresno, where I'm just going to be in a short while, our fifth biggest city in California. Fresno County flipped another 9, so that's good. And President Trump got more votes in California last year than any Republican for a generation. And the final point I'd make is that is really to focus on that and really bring to people's attention a very simple number, which is that if you look at the projected turnout for next year in California, it's a midterm election, so it's typically lower. It's around 11.8 million. So to win, you need roughly half of that, 5.9 million. Well, President Trump got 6.1 million votes in California last year. So there are enough Republican votes. We just have to get them to turn out in a governor election. And if I put forward a strong, positive alternative, a clear, common sense, conservative set of ideas and plans to deal with all the things that have gone wrong in California, notably the fact that we got the highest taxes, the highest costs for everything that matters, gas, electricity, water, housing, rent, everything, the gender extremism in the schools, the crime, the case, all of these things can be fixed with common sense policies. And I think that we can do it. It's not going to be easy, but I'm very, very confident we can do it.
You know, I was interested in this Emerson College poll that came out in August, and you're doing pretty well for a first time. I mean, this is your first time running for a big office here. And this is pretty significant. Katie Porter, the Democrat, she's been in politics a long time. She's polling at about, what, 18%. You're at 12%. Then everybody else is in the single digits. The number, yeah, though, Steve, is the undecideds, and there are a lot, exactly, of them, and they're up for grabs.
100%. That is exactly right. That's why I don't place too much emphasis on the polls at this stage. There's a very large number of undecideds. It's, in one sense, anyone who's been involved in politics knows it's not at all early. You've got to raise a lot of money to be competitive in California, and we're doing well on that front as well. And so I'm right in the thick of the campaign, because it's a heavy lift, and I'm working incredibly hard. But for most normal people, you could say, they're not paying attention to this election yet. And so that's why we've got to build a strong foundation.
Yeah.
But I really believe that when I'm in the top two, and it's a choice between another 4 years of one-party rule, we'll have had 16 years of one-party rule by next year. They're going to make 20 years of one-party rule, more of the same disastrous far-left policies and their results. I think it's a clear choice, and I just cannot see this state voting for a Democrat. People in the media ask me the whole time, how can a Republican win? My argument is, with their record, how can a Democrat win? And so, actually, I think we could really surprise everyone with what happens in California next year, and it'll be great for the whole country.
And one of the things people are focused on right now is this redistricting plan, and it's called Prop 50, and it would set aside the districts that were created by this independent commission and would pretty much wipe out the Republicans that currently have House seats in California to Democrats, and you filed a lawsuit to stop that from happening.
Yes. The reason I filed a lawsuit, Todd, is because it's obviously on its face totally obscenely unfair and outrageous. I mean, if these new maps, these gerrymandered maps from Gavin Newsom go through, then even in a bad year for Republicans, this state, the Republican vote is 40%. That's been very stable for the last 20 years. And so let's just take that number. 40% of California votes Republican. If these maps go through, we'll have 6% of the seats in the House of Representatives. It's totally outrageous. Another way of looking at it, it would take 193,000 votes to elect a Democrat to Congress, 1.52 million votes to elect a Republican. A Democrat vote would be eight times the value of a Republican vote. And that's the basis of our lawsuit. That totally contravenes and contradicts the equal protection clause of the California Constitution, which has been interpreted very clearly over the years as meaning one person, one vote. Every vote should have equal value. And that means that electoral districts should be roughly equal in size. How can they possibly do that without any reference to the population changes that have happened in California over the last, you know, 5 years since the last census? But the real point is that nobody wanted this election. No one asked for it. It is basically a totally corrupt campaign contribution funded by taxpayers to Gavin Newsom's presidential campaign. That is the only reason this is happening. Other Democrats didn't even want this. This is purely to try and boost Gavin Newsom's presidential campaign prospects. That's why I'm trying to stop it in the courts, because I don't want to suspend. You know what? How much of this is going to cost? At least $250 million, $250 million on something that is purely for Gavin Newsom's personal political advancement. And it's just outrageous. Last year, Californians passed Prop 36, which reversed the insane pro-crime policies Kamala Harris pushed through when she was attorney general, stealing up to $950 a day, et cetera. And that was passed by, reversing that was passed by 70% of Californians last year. Gavin Newsom refused to fund it. He said, there's no money. There's no money for this measure to fight crime and homelessness. And suddenly he's finding $250 million for his own personal political benefit. And so I'm trying to stop it in federal court. We're actually going to be applying, I think, tomorrow for an expedited hearing so we can get on with it and hopefully stop this nightmare from happening in the first place. If we don't succeed, then we've got to defeat it in November at the ballot box. But one way or another, we can't let this happen.
No, no, we can't. And by the way, Steve Hilton joining us from California on the campaign trail. You know, Steve, I mean, you talk about gerrymandered. I mean, the state's already gerrymandered. You've got 52 House seats, only 9 Republican seats there. That is just unacceptable.
Yes. And again, I'll give you just the simple percentage terms. 40% of the vote for Republicans, 17% of the seats. That's today. That's bad enough already. And they want to make it even worse. It's just totally outrageous and unacceptable. And the sanctimoniousness with which Gavin Newsom sort of lectures everyone, oh, we're defending democracy. What a joke these people are. I think we just have to really aggressively call them out on it. That's what I'm doing. We've got to defeat them and also highlight the ridiculous hypocrisy of these people and the brazen, shameless lying. I mean, there's an ad, for example, that Gavin Newsom's put out, which it's laughable how brazenly they lie. In this ad, he actually says, I'm quoting now, that this proposition, quote, protects independent districting. Like when it literally abolishes it. But yet he's saying the opposite. This is the arrogance of one-party rule. They believe they can say and do anything because they're never going to be challenged at the ballot box. They're going to be in power forever. They can do what they want. And I'm just here to tell them no. Those days are over. Your elite, corrupt, one-party rule is heading for the exit, and we're going to have change in California.
All right. Steve, we're going to have to leave it there. And, folks, if you'd like information on his campaign, go to stevehiltonforgovernor.com. You're going to be able to check out his vision for America, his policy positions, and also how to get involved in the campaign. And it's going to be all hands on deck, Steve. And that's what I really hope. I hope to see the Republican Party there get behind you and get you over the finish line here, because I believe it is possible for California to elect a Republican governor.
I do too. That's why I'm preparing for the job. I'm the plans in place to be ready on day one, just as President Trump was this time around, so we can start turning things around from day one. That's the idea here. And I think people are going to be surprised what happens next year in California. A very pleasant surprise for all of us here and for the whole country.
All right. Well, let's hope so. Steve Hilton for governor.com. Steve, thanks a lot. Safe travels out there.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you.
All right. Good guy. And it is possible. The polling data from Emerson, and he's right. It's way too early to take any stock in the polls. But the fact that his name recognition is up there, that tells me a lot. And maybe, just maybe, especially when you have Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. She came out yesterday and talked about how there's been a dramatic reduction in crime in Los Angeles. Nobody's believing that. Nobody's believing it. The governor, or the mayor in Chicago, Brandon Johnson, trying to say the same thing. Nobody believes you because it's not true. We've been dealing with the same thing here in Memphis. And as you now can see, and the nation can see, that it was all a lie, that there really is a not just a crime problem here, a major crime problem. And fortunately, we've got a bunch of law enforcement in town now, and they're going toe-to-toe with the bad guys. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show, everybody. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. And if you missed the news, our good friend Miss Patty from Statesville, North Carolina, one of our faithful listeners on WSIC, she has been battling cancer, and this is one tough broad. I'm telling you, cancer didn't have a shot, not even close. And she went toe-to-toe with it and called in just a few moments ago. And so many of you have been praying for Miss Patty, and we're proud to announce that she is now cancer-free. And I know that we are celebrating, and a lot of you are cheering on Miss Patty, and our friends at WSIC have to be as well. So we're just so excited. Again, this goes back to really what we do here on this show. We're sort of an extended family, and it's great keeping tabs on all of you guys and the great things that you're doing and the great things that you're up to. And, of course, a lot of young people listen to the podcast, well, because they're at school during these hours, and that's okay. But we just love hearing from all of you guys. I want to share this little intel, and as the Trump administration sends just massive resources to the Memphis area, we're getting word that the local leadership may be sabotaging some of those efforts. And I hope these reports are not true, but we are hearing from, gosh, at least a dozen police officers here in the Memphis area. And that's not good. And if that's the case, if that's actually going on, then the federal government needs to step in and do a complete takeover and force local authorities to step aside. But one person writing in, you didn't hear this from me, but patrol sheriff deputies were told not to assist in any chases with the Memphis Police Department or the Tennessee Highway Patrol. Memphis Police Department is not the only one sandpacking. And I'm glad to hear, look, we appreciate it. The person reaching out happens to be a Democrat, and they're just disgusted with what's happening in our city right now. He said both Memphis police and Shelby County sheriff's deputies, their hands off and no chase policies are what got us to this point. Yeah, you're not allowed to chase the bad guys. Did you know that? This is unacceptable. So look, we're going to get to the bottom of it. And I can promise you this, if orders have gone out, you better believe that we're going to find out who gave those orders. And there's going to be, you know what to pay. No doubt about it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this is an interesting story out of Fox News. Have you guys noticed, if you've been to Disney, a lot of you folks go to Disney World. Well, Walt Disney World is pretty much a ghost town. They say that they have just had the slowest three-week stretch in years. They do something called crowd tracking data. And they say that the way they're able to track is by the average wait time in the lines, which has now dropped to 24 minutes per ride, which is shorter than the July 4th holiday. People are saying, this is the Fox News report, I'm at Magic Kingdom right now, and this place is a tomb. There is literally nobody here. There's no wait time for anything. Space Mountain, walk on. Haunted Mansion, walk on. Pirates of the Caribbean, walk on. The longest I ever have seen for a wait time is 30 minutes. Well, Disney says that everything seems to be fine and they're not losing any money. And I don't know how they can say that, because if people are not going to the parks, I don't see how they're making their money, especially with as much as they charge. Many of the emptiest days came on party days when Magic Kingdom closes early for the not-so-scary Halloween party. Oh, I had to give a speech once, and I was down there for that. Jeez, Lou, that was a freak show. Very weird stuff going down at Disney after hours. So anyway, we'll check in on this and see what the deal is. But I think really it's really about finances more so than anything else, to be honest with you. All right, got to scoot out of here, folks. It has been a great day. Thank you for hanging out with us. We're going to be on the TV, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. Be sure to watch the Todd Stern Show. We have a great lineup for you. And tomorrow, right back here on your favorite radio station, hopefully your favorite radio host as well. Get out there, you be good, and safe, America.